Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
An NBA record was broken last night. It wasn't the Knicks blowing leads. There's still time for that, though. DeMar DeRozan, seven straight games, 35 points on better than 50% shooting. If you break any Wilt record, it deserves top billing. Wilt holds every scoring record. He also played basketball. But DeRozan is a machine. Let's go.
Oh, wow. I see what you did there.
How does a team blow a 28-point lead 4 days after blowing a 23-point lead? A few days earlier, they blew a 21-point lead. The New York Knicks, ladies and gentlemen. Brooklyn 111, New York 106. Butter. Tom Thibodeau says changes are coming. L, what change is needed for the New York Knicks?
Well, I mean, the only change that can come surrounding the New York Knicks is the overuse of the term bing bong. Let's just wait till we're actually back, guys, because we have a fun catchphrase. Unfortunately, I think for Tibbs, there isn't any change coming. Like, what is the change? You're going to get Derrick Rose back. Okay, I know they've obviously had some turmoil and some question marks at point guard since he went down in December. He's their best rim attacker. All right. But this team is not very good. And sadly, this is sort of indicative of Tom Thibodeau-led teams. He did this in Chicago. He did this in Minnesota. In fact, since helping guide Derrick Rose and the Bulls to that Eastern Conference Finals back in 2011, he's got a losing record in the playoffs. If teams have only won one playoff run, they are worn down. This is what we see with Tibbs time and time again. They're going to play hard. They're going to play tough. But at some point, it's going to be too much. How do you explain being 9-0 when you take a 20-point lead and then this month alone losing three such games?
You think they are depleted? You think they are defeated? And you think it's a coaching situation? Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here.
I think the Knicks are who we thought they were a year ago, right? Which is a bad team. Do you realize last year when they got 41 wins, that was the first time they had at least 40 wins since 2012, 2013? They are a bad team, a bad franchise. So don't expect them to just turn it around. Last season, making the playoffs was fool's goal. Last season with Julius Randle averaging 24, that was fool's goal. Last year with Thibodeau being talked about as coach of the year, winning coach of the year, that was fool's goal. This is a bad team. And really the only change that can come is not going to be with players, but it's going to be with the coach. Because as L just pointed out, we know what Thibodeau's story is with teams. The main thing is he's a defensive coach in an offensive-minded league. And as long as they continue to struggle on offense and they don't have somebody who can always get buckets for you, they're always going to be in trouble.
So you're putting this on Thibodeau as well. Is it possible too much is made of Thibodeau running a team down to the ground? I mean, look at this roster, Kevin. Does anybody think it's a top five?
You know, they say that,
roster?
But I look at Julius Randle. Julius Randle is actually playing a couple minutes less per game this year than he was
right?
a year ago. So I'm not so certain that that is really the only excuse.
Harry Lyles Jr. on the New York Knicks.
Yeah, this is just organizationally, this is what the Knicks are. This is what they've been for the last two decades, and it doesn't look like anything's going to change. Look, the reason they exceeded expectations last year, right? Like, they won more games than anybody thought possible. It's the reason Tom Thibodeau won Coach of the Year, but it's also the same reason why the taste in everybody's mouth today is so much more sour, because they have done that. Now, this team, nothing fundamentally seems like it's going to change. Yes, the All-Star break is coming, and yes, they need it. But seven of their nine games after that are on the road, and they're going to not be favored to win any of those games. And I would just like to remind everybody, all of this started after Trae Young went into Madison Square Garden last year, made that place his home, and called it Times Square instead of MSG.
Uh-huh. Bing bong!
Oh, wait, okay. The Atlanta contingency making their voice known. Now Mina Kimes on a team that's blown three 20-point leads in the last 9 days.
You asked what change was needed. I think the change that's required here is more self-awareness. The Knicks, particularly Tibbs, got to look in the mirror and realize, despite what happened last season when they overperformed, as all of my fellow as all of my fellow panelists have said, they're a lot closer to being a rebuilding team than a contender, and they need to make adjustments accordingly. A successful Knicks season is not barely squeaking into the tournament. It's evaluating their young talent. I want to see more quickly. I want to see more Obi Toppin. Last night, a combined 24 minutes from Obi Toppin and Cam Reddish, who they traded for. Why not give those players more run instead of pounding your veterans into the ground, which I believe is a big part of the reason why we've seen all these fourth quarter collapses.
By the way, to say that we're going to make a change days after they could have made a change and didn't because it just stood pat on the trade deadline is ironic. But I think this panel just diagnosed the Knicks. The Knicks have terminal lucidity, which is the medical term from when someone is dying and right before they die, they uncharacteristically have all this energy and seem like they're okay, only then to, of course,
that was last year you were talking about? Okay.
Yeah, maybe, the rally.
Maybe they'll be active in the buyout market. That's what you hear from teams that are trying to get into the play-in tournament. All right. Speaking of Lakers, Jazz last night, Anthony Davis ankle roll. Look away if you can't handle these things. I can't watch these sorts of things. Just brutal. MRI today, timetable right now, 2 weeks, which isn't terrible because it's just a break now and that's only two games. Despite that, Lakers able to beat Utah in what Magic Johnson called the best win of the season. Mina Kimes with Davis. Is this just plain bad luck or unluck or something else? And what do the Lakers need to do in the second half, knowing they never have a roster healthy, it appears?
Yeah, I would say the level of misfortune depends on how long AD is actually out, which, of course, we don't know. If it's a high ankle, obviously, that's much worse. I would say if he's out for a month or longer, does kind of feel like the season is a wrap. If it's 3 weeks or less, because of the timing with the All-Star break, I think they can actually survive this because in his absence, they really landed on something with LeBron at the five. They were actually plus 28 in a pretty significant sample size. You saw them in the fourth quarter. They look excellent with that small ball group. Some other tweaks, more THT, more Malik Monk. That's a Band-Aid lineup that can get them for a few weeks. Longer than that, though, and I would say it's over.
Larry Lyles Jr.?
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, you would like Anthony Davis on the floor, but the Lakers did not address a lot of the problems that they had with or without him at the trade deadline, and that is a problem. I think the one thing that is promising here is if you're going to have to win games without Anthony Davis, LeBron James is going to have to do what he did last night. He scored 15 of his 33 points in the fourth quarter, and he's continued to stretch now here where he scored 25 points or more in 23 straight games, which has been the longest stretch of his career. He's going to have to keep that up in order to keep them in that spot, but they kind of are what they are at this point.
Maybe they'll be active in the buyout market. Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here.
Well, the Lakers are not much without Anthony Davis. They are back to just being LeBron James's team, which is what folks are pointing out. On one hand, you hate to see this with Anthony Davis because he's a great talent. He just can't stay healthy. And there are guys like that in professional sports who we've seen from time to time. But the Lakers are going to have to move forward without him, period. I mean, that would be my modus operandi with that team. And that's kind of what I heard or read in Magic Johnson's tweet. Without Anthony Davis, they played the best game of the season in Magic's eyes. So he's already
Are we really sourcing our argument now based on tweets from Magic Johnson? I was making a playful joke there. Kevin seems serious. L. Duncan, I'll go to you.
Come on. This would be real panic if this was a real contending team. How many times does Mike Wilbon have to tell y'all this is not a good team before anybody will believe them? It's not about AD. Like, it is. It's unfortunate because he is such a great talent, and I believe this is the fourth time in his career that he's missed 10-plus games because of an injury. We saw that this year. But he's been back for 11 games, guys, and they're 4-7. It's not exactly like when AD was playing, they were at the top of the conference. They're a play-in team. This is only the third time in LeBron's career that he's going to go into the All-Star break with a losing record. This team is only going to be judged on whether they can win championships. And I don't care if AD's on the floor or not. They can't.
Brian, I cut you short there. Please, come back in.
Yeah, I mean, no, they're not going to win a championship with this roster they have right now. But I just think that they need to think about AD as being in the past. You cannot rely on him.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this season they move away from Anthony Davis. You're going bigger picture than that.
I'm talking about period. Yeah, absolutely. LeBron's not getting any younger, right? Oh, I mean, this roster, you know how old this roster is. He's the reason.
So you'd break it all up. You allow LeBron to go play with Bronny somewhere else? you'd get rid of Anthony Davis. Is anybody picking up with what Blackstone's putting down here? Lyles, you?
Cleveland does look nice right now, doesn't it?
All right, fine. I guess we're not going to get... Everybody's got jokes. We'll move on. Nuggets Warriors, final 10 seconds. Steph Curry saves Golden State from collapse on one end, but gives it right back when he doubles Jokic and leaves Monte Morris open for the game-ending buzzer-beating three. This was kind of a thrilling finish to this game and to get into the All-Star break. Curry blamed himself, said the one thing you can't do is to give up the three there, and that's what he did. Kevin, is it on Curry? Is it on the defensive lineup Kerr had in there? You know, just Gary Payton Jr. wasn't in there. Or is it on Jokic making a great play, getting the ball to Morris?
I go to Jokic making a great play. This guy had 35 and 17 last night. That assist that he made was his eighth of the game. What are you going to do? He's the best three-point shooter on their team. You do not want to get beat by him. He already had an and-one in that game. He may have gotten another one. He had been to the line for 9 free throw attempts. So you know what? Let a guy who had gone 1 for 3 as a 37% three-point shooter beat you. That's what happened. Doubling down, I think, on Jokic was the right thing to do.
Harry?
I like the play call here. I want to give them credit for the play call. Look, Curry said after the game, hey, that was designed for me to take the bait. I took it, and it ended up resulting in a three-pointer that won them the game instead of a 2 from Jokic that would have tied it. So I thought it was a great play call. I think the one question a lot of people have today, and maybe the one regret Steve Kerr has, is not playing Gary Payton II in that spot. The Warriors, when they're healthy, are one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. And Gary Payton had a career high in steals last night. So he was having a great night. Having him in that spot might have helped. So I think that's probably the one thing that they probably wish they had back.
Yeah, I agree. No idea why the Mitten, the cutest name in the NBA, was not in the game, because he had actually done a decent job defending Jokic during the game before he went out. And then Denver called a timeout. Steve Kerr had the opportunity to sub him back in to play defense, which, of course, he's incredible at, and he didn't. And I simply do not understand why.
Yeah, I'm like hearing a lot of like reaction today. Like, should we be concerned with the Golden State Warriors defense, right? Which has been their bread and butter. I also remember for like the last 2 months on SportsCenter, we keep talking about what is wrong with Golden State's offense. Hey guys, they're still second in the West. So like something's obviously working for Golden State. They led that game for 47 minutes. I mean, Steph Curry obviously had a bad leak out there, and he did choose to respect Jokic, the MVP, over Morris. But I would say pump the brakes.
They are 1-4 heading into the break. I mean, you've got the lead right now, Elle. Would you be all right leading this show for 29 minutes but losing the FaceTime because of the last show?
I'm from Atlanta, Tony, so talking about big leads and
losing Peyton,
hurts my feelings.
I know you called him the Mitten, Mina. He prefers Young Glove.
I don't care. I'm going with the Mitten.
Buy or sell.
He has no choice.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We've spoken for weeks about these Olympic Games, and I even asked the question, have they lost the essence of the Olympics? Today's figure skating front and center with the Court of Arbitration and the IOC allowing Kamila Valieva to compete despite her positive test for performance enhancer, and the fallout that created and the effect that may have had on her performance. Today, with gold medal within grasp, Valieva struggled mightily and the heavy favorite fell to fourth and skated out of a medal. Her coach seemed to be scolding her immediately after. Tears flowed from her during the scoring announcement. The fallout of the IOC's decision I spoke of before is still prevalent on NBC here. Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir appeared to some to be saying, thank God that the 15-year-old Valieva failed and would not medal. I ask again, have we lost the essence of the Olympics? Or is this what it's always been? Final medal stand, Russian athlete and Valieva teammate Anna Shcherbakova, gold. She appeared not pleased in the aftermath. Teammate Alexandra Trusova, silver. Cameras caught her crying, and via translation, I hate this sport, let me go. I don't want to go to the ceremony. Japan's Karioi Sakamoto, bronze. Mita Kimes, what did we have today?
Well, what we have is a disgrace. I mean, one of the most shameful events at Olympics I've seen in my lifetime. And Tony, it involves many people, many adults, many organizations over many years making poor decisions that got us to this moment. Going back to Sochi, the decision made by the IOC to allow many of these groups in Russia and athletes to continue skating under a different flag. The decisions made by those adults, those coaches, the Russian Skating Federation, obviously the worst actors in all of this, and then the decision by the IOC to let this skate happen, which it obviously should not have happened, and it was awful for everyone to watch. And I want to say one more thing. This goes beyond Russia, right? Because we've seen now incidents like this involving skating, gymnastics, young women in particular, in Olympic sports, in many countries, subject to abuse and mistreatment, and we are failing them. And I say we because I really think it goes so far beyond this particular event.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, to Mina's point, this just feels like the culmination of a bunch of bad decision-making. And it's unfortunate because it feels like everybody is affected with this, between the athletes and everybody broadcasting. Valieva's a great skater. I think we could all admit that. The doping is bad. It's not her fault. And it's unfair that she was competing. And it's unfair to the athletes that were competing clean, knowing that you're competing against somebody that has been accused of doping and had a positive test. So, all three athletes that were on the medal stand, nobody seemed happy. And the fact that that has to be the case, this is just unfortunate for everybody. It's bad for the sport, but for as many problems as figure skating has, it feels like this one was painfully, easily avoidable, and that's just unfortunate for everybody.
Kevin Blackstone, when the decision was made to let Valieva compete, it was because, in some ways, and I want to say quote unquote, it would do her irreparable harm if she didn't compete. How do you see it?
You know, I think going back to Mina's point, you know, you were doing irreparable harm possibly to all of these adolescent girls who are being put on a world stage and subject to ridicule. It's hard for me to watch figure skating. It's hard for me to watch gymnastics at this level. I put it all on the IOC and those who support the IOC. It ignores its own rules and regulations. You know, Russia should not be competing here at all. I'm even uncomfortable with the two Russian skaters who got the silver and the gold. It's just a bad
situation. In what way do you mean? Just seeing their reaction?
Just the fact that they are competing here. We have to go back to 2019 when the systemic drugging situation with Russia was discovered and they were penalized for 4 years and they rolled it back to 2 years and they decided, you know what, we'll let them participate, but we won't say that they're Russian. We'll say that they're Russian Olympic Committee athletes. Come on, what are we playing here? What kind of shell game is this we're playing?
Well, there's many layers, of course, to this, and I want your view of what transpired this morning, but also the idea that in this particular sport, could there be an age requirement? We're dealing now with young adolescents, as been said on this panel. Is that fair?
No, and it's so crazy because they know there is a distinction between readiness and what age you're ready at, because they already have implications and protocols in place for people Valieva's age, 15 years old, where they essentially say they're so naive that we protect them from any doping scandals or any issues that could come along like this. I just find the whole thing to be sad because I'm not going to pretend to have seen a single second of her skate before the Olympics, but she was always described as a cyborg, a robot, like all about her business. And for the last week, she has become the face of unfairness. She has been criticized. She has been mocked. She has become the face for dope in Russia. She is 15 years old. The weight of the world is behind her. Basically, the broadcast said, the IOC said, to the world, actively root against this girl because otherwise we're not even going to have a medal ceremony, which is a big part of why people even watch the Olympics. Imagine all of that on your shoulders. We saw it culminate today, and it was heartbreaking.
That's how you heard, thank God, right?
Yes.
You can understand that you want a medal ceremony so those who did compete fairly can be celebrated. But then, and here's the other thing about performance enhancing in some cases. It's not just about so you can be better in the technique. It's so that you could push past the boundaries of fatigue. And that's the drugs in question here with Valieva. You have to wonder how that got in her system and what the expectation was for her to push past all boundaries. Well, that's not fair for anybody as well. We've been warned here. Thanks for your thoughts on this. Mina Kimes, Kevin Blackstone, front row seat for Harry Lowes Jr., L. Duncan. Showdown in 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lyle Duncan, good luck in showdown. Canada 3, USA 2. Gold goes to the Canadian women in hockey, dominating this tournament. In the two games versus the United States, they won. And Renee Desbien in goal stopped 89 shots. This has been the rivalry of the sport. Some have criticized that it's too two-sided. It's only these two countries competing. Elle, what's the takeaway?
My biggest takeaway from this is that parents, you're lying to your kids with the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady does not win the race. For the fourth straight game, the American women failed to score a goal in the first period. And unfortunately, Canada absolutely steamrolled and ran away with it.
Mm-hmm. Harry?
My takeaway here is Marie-Philippe Poulin, her dominance. She's the only person, man or woman, to have 4 goals in 4 gold medal games. And 7 of her 17 goals in the Olympics have been in gold medal games. That's incredible.
Nice pronunciation.
With the point, we'll move on. Showdown 2, this buck right here. Chris Paul was ejected for it. Some have pointed out Chris Paul does have a history with referees. Was it ejection worthy, Harry?
I would like to say no, but if you're looking from the referee's perspective, they know him as the guy that instigates with them. So, of course, he was going to get thrown out of the game.
No?
See, that's the problem, though, the perspective, because the first time you showed it, this looks like a magic eye poster. The first time you showed it, it looked like the ref initiated the contact, but then on the second angle, it sort of looked like it was Chris Paul a little bit. So I would just say it totally depends on if you're pro player or pro referee. And who's pro referee, Tony? Go Chris.
So you're saying it's like those TV shows that show you different from two different perspectives. I love shows that
yes.
do that. The Affair. Love Life. Love Life this season was awesome. Point game from the Duncan perspective. Here's FaceTime.
It was. Shout out to Mina Kimes for putting me on to Love Life, by the way. And also shout out to ESPN and College Game Day. On Sunday, for the first time in 11 years, Game Day is going to a women's game at Columbia, #1 South Carolina, taking on #12 Tennessee. There's huge implications. And outside of that, we hope that you will support and rally around the women's game because it is fantastic and March Madness is coming. So watch on noon, Game Day on ESPN, and then watch at 1 p.m. on ABC. It's not often that these ladies get a prime time seat, but they've got it this week, and we'd love your support.
Well, Duncan, today's champions. We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. Boston. See you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.